7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Welcome to another rainy day here on the Western Slope. Or in the case of our friends in Montrose, snow last night. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. It is a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you want to complain about the weather today, mentioned the snow in Montrose. It snowed out the baseball game for the Red Hawks, taking on Roaring Fork last night. Some other area teams, though, did get their games in. Delta and Fruto Monument. Fruto Monument's now 6-0 on the season. But it is a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You could win a bottle of fantastic Talon Wine from our friend James over at Talon Wine. Got something on your mind? Want to gripe about sports? Want to gripe about your daily life? Text or call us. 970-242-1340. Buckeye, anything to start the day for you? You usually have something, right?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I usually eventually get to something.
I have noticed since you got
married. I get prompted into complaints quite a bit. Not necessarily on the show. But.
Okay. I've noticed since getting married to Karen, you're a pretty happy guy for the most part.
I'm generally a happy guy.
I applaud her for being able to make that kind of transition or that kind of change in you.
I have a well-cultivated reputation of being a little bitter ball of hate.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm generally in a good mood. I'm just hateful. That's all. That's two different things.
I'm in a good mood, but I'm hateful.
I can hate things while being in a great mood. Just like I can like things while being in a poor mood.
Fair enough.
You know, it's fair enough. Those two are mutually exclusive.
They can be, I guess.
But yeah, I'm generally in a good mood anymore.
All right. Well, so nothing on that front today. I've got to complain.
That's my default position. Usually it doesn't end up that way.
Let's see. Since we moved, there's been a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we canceled, I'm not going to say, canceled a service, ended on the 1st. Okay, done.
Yeah.
Over. Got a bill from them yesterday for this month. Wait a minute. We were done on the 1st.
Mm-hmm. Billing cycles.
How can I get a bill? So, like, no, I'm not going to pay that. The billing came after.
What are they going to do? Shut off your service?
Because it's done.
Yeah.
And said company, they're, and you probably know who I'm talking about if you have this service. Their site got hacked about a month ago. So you can't go on their site and do anything in regard to billing or questions, things like that. You have to call. They have an insanely long call wait time, like about 2 hours.
Because there's only 4 people in the call center.
Right, and their website's down.
And it's middle of the night where their call center is located.
This company should have called ComWest because they would have got this problem probably figured out weeks and weeks and weeks ago. But, so you can't reach them online. And it just to me, it's like the bill came for the 13th. Well, no, the service ended. We were done on the 1st. I mean, that's when it started. So how are we getting billed for through like April, through part of April? It's like, well, no, I'm not going to pay that.
There's a couple people that we deal with payment-wise that just recently, as in the last 8 or 9 months, have gained the ability to online auto-pay. And it was frustrating. It's like,
welcome to the 21st century.
It is 2023. You mean to tell me you can't figure out a way to get automated payments?
That's pretty crazy.
Or you don't want to because that 3% or $4.95, whichever is greater, that fee keeps you in business. One or the other.
Also,
and if that's the case, we're going to try to go somewhere else.
Exactly. Well, we're glad with this particular nationally known company.
Mm-hmm.
We will not be doing business with them going forward. But also yesterday.
Thank you, Fubo. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's who that is.
It's not Fubo.
No. Well, that's because you don't have to deal with the other company.
Exactly. That's why I've got Fubo. Though we can't get Judge Judy on, on Fubo, and my wife's not real thrilled about that. She likes watching Judge Judy. So that's been a... I know you're like, what? Yes, she likes watching Judge Judy, and it's not been a huge thing because we had so much stuff going on, but it's been a slight irritant to my lovely wife.
I'm sure you could find an old episode that'll get your fix of Miss Judy Shiner.
Well, they have the new ones, but
Hot
she doesn't
Bench or whatever.
No, it's Judge Judy. Sorry, no, none of that other
it's
knockoff.
Judy, not the judge part, right?
And they have the new ones you can watch. Mm-hmm. On, I believe, on Amazon, but she doesn't like the format. She likes Bird, the bailiff. She likes the old format. I know. She doesn't like how the show is now. She thinks it's too busy. There's too many people on it, and she doesn't like it. Which, you know, we all have our preferences.
To each their own, absolutely.
Yeah, we have our own little idiosyncrasies that we have about things and reasons why we like things or don't like them. So. I'm not criticizing that at all.
No.
But that's been a small thing.
There are some shows that I love. Depending on my mood, I just can't watch them.
Right.
Like The Simpsons. I love The Simpsons.
Sure, I do too.
There are times I can sit down on my day off and watch 17 episodes of The Simpsons in a row on Disney Plus. Then there are other times, depending on the mood I'm on, I watch like 2 minutes and Bart is just being a terrible person. And no one in their right mind in the real world will let this happen, and it annoys me. Even though I know this is a cartoon.
It's a cartoon, yeah, it's not reality.
And it's like, nope, I can't do this right now.
There's certain times I'll watch something, it's like, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
And it's not reality or whatever, but it annoys me for some reason, and so I just say, I can't watch it.
Separate the fact that this person is the despicable human for this sitcom.
Right.
And I gotta turn this off.
The other thing... Now becoming, and maybe it's been this way for a while, but I've noticed it more lately.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to pay for something with your credit card, that's going to be a 2% additional charge because you're using your credit card.
Yeah.
That's becoming a new thing. At least it's
only
becoming
run
a new
into
thing.
That, like I said, with the water and the mortgage.
Which is like, really?
Yeah.
Really going to charge me 2% more because I'm using my credit card?
I know this is just a generic complaint, and it's not really a whine about it, but like, if you don't actually provide me a service, don't prompt me to tip you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right. Yes. I agree.
And I know people got to work, and I know a lot of people work on tips.
People got to eat and got bills to pay.
And
get
tips
it.
Supplement income, and if you're doing a service job, then I understand. But if you... Literally all you do is take the order and I actually have to swipe my credit card. You don't even take possession of it from me. Don't turn the thing around and be like, 20% tip?
Really?
On my $2 drink? No.
No. I walked up to the counter. I had to pick it up. Yeah. You didn't bring it to me.
Your 14 cents is not going to make or break you, so I'm going to pass.
Right? Yeah, I'm gonna pass on that. Thank you very much. All right, let's get back to sport, shall we? Where... Yeah. Last night, the World Baseball Classic Championship game happened in Miami.
And you mean to tell me baseball's not scripted? You get the NFL script talk a lot, right?
Last night.
Shohei against Mike Trout.
What a coincidence, right?
Championship game, one run, bottom nine. Wow.
The teammates
going
scripted. At it. Do you realize that the LA Angels comprise 33% of the rosters in the World Baseball Classic?
And they suck.
And they should be a playoff team, right? This year. They should be a playoff team. Yeah, I couldn't believe it's like 33% of all of them. They should be really good, right? They should be one of the best teams in baseball.
They had nobody left in camp.
But
when the World Baseball Classic started, they're looking around like a bunch of 70s and 80s and 90s out there playing A-level games.
Well, yeah, a lot of 70s and 80s out there playing. A lot of guys, who's that guy? So, we'll get to it coming up in what's happening, but U.S. falls to Japan last night, 3-2. And Rob Manfred says they're not going to move when it's played. It's going to be in March. Which you and I came to an agreement that, how about just start it a little bit earlier? Just start it a little bit, pitchers and catchers. You don't have to play it mid-season. Like the Athletic was in the article we talked about yesterday, they're lobbying for. you know, playing midseason.
See, and Rod Manfred didn't, again, every time he opens his mouth, he shoots himself in the foot. You don't have to say, this is when it's played forever and eternity. You can say it's going to be spring training. It's going to be right at the beginning of the season. And still, now he can't move it up 3 weeks.
Right.
You said it wasn't going to move from when it was played. Now he can't do anything with it because he's an idiot. And he can't get out of his own way.
He did make the comment that they did consider playing the All-Star break midseason. And he said that there's really no perfect time. He's somewhat right about that. There really isn't a,
there isn't a perfect
optimal time to play the World Baseball Classic.
Because your season's too long.
Exactly. And you and I, this comes from guys that love baseball.
Yeah.
And they probably should be playing 154 like they did back in the 50s. They should probably...
Give me 146.
146.
I would love it. I would give you 2.5, 3 weeks extra that you could find a place to play this. The Fall Classic would not be butting up against Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Maybe you could get your awards out before Halloween.
Which would make total sense, right? But,
see, like I said, yeah. I usually find something to complain about, and it's usually Rob Manfred.
He makes it easy. He gives you lots of grist for the mill. But I at least they considered it at one point, playing in midseason, or at least moving it. Still think the best thing you and I talked about, we broke it down yesterday, is move it to when pitchers and catchers, right around that time.
Yeah.
And to me, it creates less of an issue. And you're going to get more eyeballs on it before the NCAA basketball tournament. Just makes a lot of sense. But a great game last night. And we'll break it down more coming up in the next segment. But for the United States, part of the reason they lost last night, Japan's good. Let's not.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are really, really pro baseball in Japan is, you know, the guys are extremely talented. Really good players that play Japanese professional baseball. But if you're the United States and you don't have a Gerrit Cole, you don't have guys that Kershaw, guys of that ilk are not playing, they're not pitching for you.
Your pitching staff was not great.
Kyle Freeland pitched last night. He gave a bomb. But he wasn't horrible last night. If you look at Kyle's number.
He also got Ohtani, too, though.
He also got Shohei Ohtani last night.
Punched him out.
And he got a punchy. But when your best pitchers are not pitching,
that's a problem.
And yes, offensively, they were explosive, no doubt about that. Well, for the tournament, they were
until last night,
where the Japanese pitchers, who a lot of these guys don't see, with the exception of Yu Darvish and Shohei Ohtani, they had their number last night, and the United States had opportunities, a couple men on late, two on in the ninth, and Betts hits into a double play, and, you know, Schwarber hits the bomb, and you're thinking, okay, it's, you know, 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an opportunity, and the United States can take advantage of it.
You're right about the pitching staff. Jason Adam.
Who wasn't bad last night when I watched
it.
Was
all right.
He's okay, but.
But.
What, Merrill Kelly?
Team USA?
Yeah.
Daniel Bard was okay. For the most part.
But he hasn't been particularly good during the WBC, though.
David Bednar, not Jared Bednar, 3-year extension, by the way.
Congratulations to coach.
Do you know what team David Bednar plays for?
I do not.
Neither does his parents. You have, like you mentioned, Merrill Kelly, Aaron Loop, Lance Lynn, Miles Michaelis, which he's pretty good.
It's okay, yeah.
Adam Ottavino, who was really good 5 years ago. And Ryan Pressly, Brady Singer.
I had to look it up. Bednar pitches for the Pirates. Yes, I had to look it up. Like, who does he pitch for?
And Devin Williams, who's really good, but has kind of lost a little bit from 2 or 3 years ago.
He was pretty good last night, though. Yeah, he was good last night.
But that's your pitching staff.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of guys.
You need the power offensively.
Exactly. You have to overcome. Mm-hmm. Mediocre pitching.
Yeah. I did feel bad for the kid who played he's one of the outfield spots, and I was like, they were going through the starting lineup. I'm like, wow, one of these guys is not like the others. I'm sorry, Cedric Mullins, but you're kind of that guy. No offense.
Good little player.
You're a good little player, but you're right. They just had a lot of guys opt out from pitching-wise that just, I don't know necessarily if that does them any favors.
I mean, fortunately, they had Trout, they had Betts, they had Goldschmidt, right. They had Arenado and Schwarber, and Trey Turner had a great World Baseball Classic.
Mm-hmm. Look, and it took the best two-way player maybe the game's ever seen to solidify Team Japan's win. So let's not necessarily start shoveling dirt on Team USA's grave. You know, they got to the bottom of the ninth after winning it the time before, but they may not be in this position without some of those guys that you mentioned. Thanks, but no thanksing.
Yeah. Kershaw, if I remember correctly, or something to do about insurance or something, that there was a hang up with that. That he wasn't going to get covered if he played in the World Baseball Classic.
I mean, he couldn't call Jake from State Farm and get that figured out.
Or Ken Richards or Jeremy over at State Farm.
Yeah.
Get that taken care of. Well, we'll dive more into the World Baseball Classic coming up in the next segment. But anyway, you got some thoughts about if you watched the WBC last night on FS1?
We talked yesterday about guys that go out and have to do that one-day contract, and do you groove them pitches?
Right.
Merrill Kelly grooved that kid a pitch.
He did.
For TBS. I mean, 92 center cuts. Like, what exactly do you expect him to do with that? Knock Maybe he'll the, roll it over.
Knock the snot out of it.
He hit it to Miami Gardens.
Flipper caught it with his little blowhole.
I love what that kid said. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. But at post-game on MLB Network, they're asking, oh, you hit 56 home runs in the Japan League, and then you come here and you have a couple and you win. He's like, yeah, I probably could have hit more. I love it.
What I love is with, you know, Otani and Darvish and Yamada and all these Japanese names, and you have Nootbaar.
Yeah, Lars Nootbaar.
Lars Nootbaar.
How is he on Team Japan?
I know. I'm sitting there. They're you know, going across the dugout, you know, panning across the dugout, and I'm going, what?
Why, how in the world?
How's that guy on Team Japan?
Yeah. I think his mother is Japanese.
So, but he does not look the least bit Japanese.
No, so his father is Charlie Nootbaar, Dutch, English, German.
Okay.
His mother is Kumiko Inokita, and she is Japanese, obviously. So he got to play for Team Japan.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to be insensitive or anything, but just when you're going, he does not look the least bit Japanese.
A little. But not like the. I mean, he kind of sticks out on the team.
Yeah, he definitely does not look
right
Japanese like the rest of his teammates do.
And especially the name on the back.
The name, exactly. You know, if it was
Otani, Shogo, Togo,
Yakamura,
Yakamura,
okay, he's probably probably biracial and okay. Mm-hmm. But when it's Nootbaar, you're just kind of going,
yeah. Hey. When I saw it, I was like, that's one of my people.
It's one of your people. Playing for Team Japan.
Yeah.
Do you get to celebrate? Do you get to revel in that since there's a...
Only slightly, but since Team Netherlands was in, thanks to a lot of Netherlands Antilles players, some of whom have never actually been to the Netherlands itself.
Barely know where it is.
Yeah. All they know it is because it's the mother country. That's
Couldn't
about
find it.
It
on a map if...
Somewhere around Denmark.
It's over there somewhere. Yeah. All right. 7:19. So it's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Dexter call 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy on the Team Sports Network, and it's time for
What's Happening?
And it's brought to you by our friends over at ComWest, your technology partner. They help business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions that support and secure their business technology consistently and professionally. So if you need help with security at your business, maybe a new business phone system like they did for us here at the radio station, backup and disaster recovery, cybersecurity, they have you covered. They're your technology service partner. Call them today. Call Nathan and his crew over at ComWest, 970-242-8142. We'll lead things off with, of course, last night, the World Baseball Classic comes to a climax. in Miami last night as a legendary ninth inning showdown, one for the ages. Los Angeles Angels teammates Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani squared off in the championship game of the World Baseball Classic in Miami. Ohtani struck out Trout to get the save and give Japan a 3-2 win over the United States. It's the third WBC title for the Japanese. United States' Kyle Schwarber hit a solo home run in the eighth to pull the U.S. to within a run. Mookie Betts hit into a double play in the ninth inning before Trout struck out to end the game. Rockies pitcher Kyle Freeland pitched last night for Team USA, gave up a home run in that game last night. Speaking of the Rockies, they fell to San Diego 14-2 last night. They also announced the reassignment of catcher Drew Romo and outfielder Zach Veen to their minor league camp, leaving 44 players remaining at spring training. Rockies also announced the signing of former San Diego Padre outfielder Jurickson Profar. ESPN reports Profar has agreed to a one-year deal worth $7.75 million. He recorded 140 hits in 575 at-bats for San Diego last year. He hit 15 home runs. The Avalanche have re-signed head coach Jared Bednar to a three-year contract extension. Details on the new deal are not known, but with his new contract, Bednar will be with the team through the 2026-2027 season. His current deal runs out after next year. He is the winningest coach in franchise history with a 281, 190, and 52 record, a 58.7% winning percentage, and, of course, the Stanley Cup last year. Broncos free agency shopping cart continues to get filled up. The team announced it is bringing back punter Riley Dixon. Dixon was with the Rams recently, winning a Super Bowl with Los Angeles. He began his career in Denver, spending his first two seasons with the Broncos. Denver will likely have a competition for the starting punter job between Dixon and the incumbent Corliss Waitman. New York Knicks great Willis Reed has died. Reed was best known for playing on an injured knee in Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals. His presence helped spark New York to win their first NBA title. Reed passed away at the age of 80. Tennis legend Martina Navratilova is back covering the sport after being diagnosed with throat and breast cancer. The 66-year-old 18-time Grand Slam champion says she's cancer-free and is covering the Miami Open for the Tennis Channel. The Fruit of Monument High School baseball team is now 6-0 after a 5-2 win over Denver North Tuesday. Wildcats pitcher Lucas Weaver went 6 2/3 with 7 strikeouts to get the win, with Hunter Smolinski going 3-for-4, 2 RBIs, and a run scored. The Delta Panthers moved to 3-1 in the season. They picked up a 2-1 home win over Rifle Tuesday. The Panthers' Rylan Bynum went 2-for-3 at the run scored. His pitcher Jacob Hancock went 3 1/3 with 4 strikeouts to get the win. Montrose's game last night, their home matchup with the Roaring Fork, was snowed out. The spring coaches poll is out, and several area baseball teams are in the mix. Fruit of Monument received 4 points. They're 22nd in 5A. Palisade is 8th in 4A. Delta 11th in 3A. The Colorado Mesa men's golf team took third at the Southern Colorado Masters Tournament, the Pueblo County Golf Course. The Mavericks' Pablo Diaz de Castillo took fourth with his 2-10. Teammate Yale Chanin finished in sixth with a 2-12. The CMU women's lacrosse team lost to 19th-ranked St. Leo 13-7 during the Mavericks' Florida trip. 3-2 CMU faces 8th-ranked Rollins College tomorrow. And the CMU Beach volleyball team lost 3-2 to Boise State and then lost to 12th-ranked Long Beach State at Rosie's Dog Beach in Long Beach, California. The Mavs' Holly Schmidt won her 36th match, tying her with Ara Norwood for the school record. And that's
what's happening.
And it's brought to you this morning by our friends over at ComWest. If you need technology help with cybersecurity, also your business phone system or surveillance, call them today, 970-242-8142. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And up next, we'll dive into the World Baseball Classic, incredible championship game last night between the United States and Japan. We'll get into that in just a moment. But celebrate 40 years of fun and funding for the great outdoors with the Colorado Lottery's new 40th anniversary scratch games. They packed 40 years of fun into every game, including $1, $2, $5, $10, and their first ever $40 scratch game. Now the celebration of a lifetime is just a scratch away. And you can get those tickets now. And, of course, it provides for funding for the great outdoors in Colorado. Colorado's lottery's first 40 years, they've given back over $4 billion to parks, trails, and open spaces in Colorado. Colorado Lottery is the only lottery in the world whose funds go strictly to the outdoors. Imagine what they can achieve in another 40 years. Dozens of state parks and hundreds of wildlife areas are funded by the Colorado Lottery. So get it now, the Colorado Lottery game, $1, $2, $5, $10, and the first ever $40 scratch game. The Colorado Lottery funding our great outdoors in the state. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 727, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. So if you got something you need to complain about today, world of sports, daily life, the daily grind, the weather, text or call 970-242-1340. All right, so last night, the Japanese win their third World Baseball Classic, beat the U.S. 3-2 last night. And the big moment, and you could kind of see it coming, was Shohei Ohtani scoring off against Mike Trout. The two Los Angeles Angels teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Ohtani, by the way, going to his final year with the Angels. So next year would definitely be the biggest free agent in baseball. And Shohei Ohtani, also something that was brought up last night by John Schmoltz on the broadcast. You know, we go back to Babe Ruth when he played for the Red Sox and he pitched for them in the World Series, mm-hmm. pitched and hit. That Ohtani's done that longer than Babe Ruth did, because when he got traded to the Yankees, he became an outfielder, a hitter, and did not pitch again. Ohtani's done that longer. And Schmoltz made the comment last night that while this is incredible and remarkable what he's been able to do, that at some point it's going to have to come to an end for him. A decision's probably going to have to be made by Shohei Ohtani about what direction he's going to go. Is he going to be a pitcher? Is he going to be a hitter? And even though he's a DH when he's not pitching,
mm-hmm.
John Schmoltz, his feeling is it's hard to sustain the work that you put in to be a starting pitcher and divide yourself the way Ohtani does. And it's been remarkable what Ohtani's been able to do to this point in his career. Divide himself between the two, being a hitter and being a pitcher. That it's going to be tough to sustain that going forward. The work that it takes to stay at that level in both aspects. That at some point he's probably going to have to make a decision on which way he wants to go. The nice thing for Shohei Ohtani is he's really good either way. Tremendous hitter, tremendous power hitter. And is certainly a guy that has a world of potential. Good pitcher, maybe not Scherzer level yet or anything like that, but certainly a guy that has that ability, right? To be that kind of frontline starting pitcher moving forward.
Absolutely. And I respect John Smoltz, and I get exactly where he's coming from, and I understand. But that is in the baseball of the past, you're going to have to choose one.
Right.
Shohei Ohtani is going to be 28 in July. Last year, he hit 34 home runs, drove in 95, stole 11 bases, which he could probably steal more if he wanted to. He probably doesn't need to. Hit .273, .356, slugging percentage of .519. Last night, he threw four pitches over 100 miles an hour. I mean, I get that you feel he has to. Not you. John Smoltz feels he has to. Why? If he wants to do both, and he knows that, you know what, maybe my career ends at 33 and not 38. If he's perfectly willing to try, why not just let him go as long as he wants to go?
Well, and I think that's – and while I respect John Schmoltz and his knowledge and his experience, obviously, and I think he makes some valid points. I don't disagree with what he's saying entirely, but I do think that this guy's a unicorn.
He led the team in innings pitched. He led the team out of starters in ERA. He was a 2.33 ERA – in 28 starts, he was 15-9, and he went out there and he had 666 go Iron Maiden. He had almost 700 plate appearances, and he hit .273 and 34 home runs.
I think what Schmoltz is trying to say is for Shohei, who's obviously the numbers pitching wise are mm-hmm. really, really good, that he could be elite. He could be one of the very best pitchers in baseball. If that's where his focus lies.
Mm-hmm. He kind of is elite already. Those numbers are pretty good.
Those are really good, but I think he feels like they're still, you know, and over the course of his career, it's taken a while to get going because he had injury issues mm-hmm. and things like that. and he's gotten better as time has gone along. Also, when you're on the field, on the bump, numbers are going to be better too. I just think that he feels like he's extremely good, but he could be the best pitcher in baseball if that was his focus. Or the best hitter in baseball, if that was his focus.
I totally understand where he's coming from.
I just think you let I tend to agree with you. I think you let him do it until he says, you know what, I don't think I can't divide myself mentally.
And I'm gonna push back on some of John Smoltz with the could be the best blank. You know, the top 10 in Major League Baseball, the 10th most home runs was 35. Shohei hit 34.
Right.
I mean, to be elite, you're what, top 25?
Sure. Hitter? I think he means being the best, the very best, top of the mountain.
I mean,
imagine how good he could be if he just focused on one thing.
He was sixth league-wide in ERA last year.
Which is outstanding.
Top 10 in wins. K per nine, he finished 0.11 behind Carlos Rodon in baseball. He had 11.87 K per nine.
And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here what he's saying.
I think
it wasn't like Schmoltz was saying, like, sucks. That, you know, he's not great at one thing, but boy, he'd be really great if he focused.
So
I think he feels like, the production that he has right now, probably to lay this out better, it's going to be hard to continue that, being that good in both areas.
Yeah. If he takes the day off before he pitches, he might get to number one from being number two or three.
And that, imagine if all the effort and energy, the mental focus, is in one area. That he could be the best pitcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Or he could be the best hitter in baseball, period.
Yeah.
I think that's where he was going. Well, he was not trying to say, he's just kind of average at both these things.
Right.
It's, I don't know if he can sustain this. And imagine if the focus was in one area.
I think it
what it could be.
It raises his profile, and if he's not considered top three player in the game at either hitting or pitching, then you're not really thinking that hard about it. Because take into the account his numbers. He's top 15 in a lot of the numbers that get guys signed to $30 million a year.
Right.
And he does it at two positions. And the talk is, well, he could be, instead of top three, he could be top one if he focused on one. Well, he's already top three in the other two.
But I also think, though, but a lot of it, I think, with Schmoltz was more, I don't know if he can sustain this doing both.
I felt it was a little back in my day-ish. It was a little when I played-ish.
Guys, players like him didn't exist when Schmoltz.
Right, like,
played. So,
because like I said, it was looking back at baseball, not looking forward. It was, I mean, in my experience, back when I played, guys couldn't sustain this. Well, guys are also built different now.
But I also defend Schmoltz, and I think he was coming from as a guy that was a starter that had to become a closer, and they also addressed that last night, the challenge for Ohtani, who had not picked up a save since he played in the Japanese Professional League. Because that's not what he does. He's a starting pitcher.
He started 28 games last year.
Yeah. And so that was a unique situation last night. Asked to come in and close out a game, and he got the save last night.
He did the mad bum, with the exception of not going 11 innings or whatever.
Exactly. And so I'll defend Schmoltz a little bit in that he has skins on the wall.
And no, absolutely.
He was coming from a pitching standpoint of, look how incredible this guy is. I just don't know. I know from my own personal experience how tough it is to be a pitcher at the big league level, at a high level, and that's just being a pitcher. Can he maintain this? I don't know. At some point, he has a right to have his opinion on this.
Absolutely.
And he does have background to work from, or he can say, look, I don't know if this is sustainable for him. And I just think until it's not sustainable, until all of a sudden Shohei Ohtani has an ERA of 4, and he wins 7 games, and that's a couple of, 2-3 years in a row, or the hitting numbers drop off drop considerably.
Yeah.
And you can tell that the mental grind and maybe the physical part of it is starting to wear on him. I think you let him do his thing.
If he can be on a team where he doesn't have to be the ace and the cleanup hitter, Like, for the Angels, he's got to be the ace because they don't have anybody else.
And he's the guy.
The Sandoval kid's good, but he's not ready at all to take over.
He's the guy. If he's a, you know,
if he goes across town, if he goes to New York, San Francisco, wherever.
He's a 2 or 3 starter in a rotation.
He doesn't have to throw 180 innings. I mean, to me, it's kind of, damn, what more do you want? Like, being second in K per nine is, well, he's got to give up hitting. He could be better. He could be just a skosh better. He's second.
But I think, you know, in reflecting more on it, I think it was more about the sustainability of it. That, yeah, the focus could be on one thing, and maybe that would lend itself to long-term success. But I think it was more, I don't know if this is a sustainable model for him.
But Shohei could legitimately go out, ask for 6 years, $300 million, get it.
Absolutely.
And play the rest of that contract. He's still 34. And if he can't do it anymore from then, I mean, why is...
Yeah,
that's no one else's decision.
Right. I agree with you. I'm just bringing up
I know.
Aspects of what I heard Schmoltz say, and I'm not trying to misconstrue some of it, but I just think that you let him do it until obviously it becomes a situation where he's not capable of doing both at a high level.
There's a level of personal responsibility that Shohei Ohtani has to bring to, maybe I can't sustain this. It's not for John Smoltz to say that, is what I'm trying
but
to
do. But it's also John Smoltz's job, though, and what he's doing last night, true, to offer up an opinion. And we can either go, yeah, John's right about that, or like we're doing. Eh,
he's creating content.
There's some things that are probably true about what he's saying, but there's also, look, you know, the proof is in the numbers and what Shohei Ohtani's done.
I would be way more inclined to agree with John Smoltz if it were flashes, right? Like, wow, he hit 10 home runs in the span of a month. He could be really good if he only focused on hitting. Or it's like, man, he had 10 Ks there. He could be really good. I mean, over the course of a season, his ERA last year was better than a lot of John Smoltz's ERA starting. And Smoltz is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is one of the greatest. And Shohei's ERA as a starter is better than a lot of John Smoltz's seasons. John Smoltz also 1 year, won 24 games. Shohei's just not going to pitch enough to do that.
Right.
So it's like, there's not flashes. He went wire to wire last year as top five hitter, top five pitcher. He just happens to be in the same body.
And so, yeah, I just think in the case of Smoltz, he's got an opinion on it. You look last year, he had a 2.33 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's unbalanced schedule in a division with the Mariners. Houston won 106 games last year, and Shohei Ohtani had a sub-2.5 ERA. I mean, where are the Angels without Shohei Ohtani? They won 73 games last year. That's it. With all of these numbers we're talking about, 34 home runs, almost 100 RBIs, hit north of 270. He's second best pure hitter on
his
team.
But then you can also say, okay, well, last year was a little bit of the outlier, though. I mean, he went 9-2 the year before, 2021. He only played in 2 games in 2020
from injury.
You know, so I mean, 2018 he pitched in 10 games. He went 4-2. I mean, there's one really strong season, but I think that's more who he is this last season.
Yeah.
Than the other stuff, you know, dealing with injury and all those
kind
of things.
First real season coming across to where Shohei at full power against a league he's kind of familiar with now. I mean, sometimes guys come up from the minors and they're dominant. They're rookie year. Have a couple of lulls because everybody's got to adjust. Shohei also got hurt, and they only had him hit for a while because I think it was Tommy John, maybe?
I think so.
And so, you know, I think last year's what it could be. I know it's the outlier of his career, but I think that's the standard for
Shohei. He also won 9 games the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's...
Yeah.
The trend is it's that direction. It's
with a better team around him, he's the 20-game winner.
And like we were saying, I mean, next year, you know, who knows what...
Yeah.
Where if he goes someplace... I agree with you. If he's not the ace, second, third guy in the rotation, you know, front end of your rotation, doesn't have to be the guy, but he's going to be one of your better pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
now at the Universal DH, that opens up the entire baseball universe to him in the American National League as far as potential suitors.
If he goes across town or uptown and he's behind Walker Buehler and Julio Urias and the last vestiges of Clayton Kershaw, and he's in that rotation, I mean, then he could go. David Roberts could be like, you know what? I'm penciling you in for 30 starts and 700 plate appearances. And you tell me when to stop.
You tell me when it becomes too much for you. And we'll be monitoring you. And but you also, you communicate with me on, well, through your interpreter.
Yeah.
It's getting better at speaking English, but of how you feel and where you are. Exactly. All right, so last night, we got to move on here.
Okay.
Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. Scoring off in the ninth inning last
night.
Life
is a simulation. I'll just do it.
It's fantastic. In Miami last night.
And only better if the finals were in L.A.
True. But Ohtani gets a strike out of his Angels teammate last night. And Japanese win their third World Baseball Classic, thanks to Ohtani coming in to pick up the save.
I know we got to move on, but quick question. If that's not Ohtani, does Trout swing at that pitch? That slider cutting outside? Because that looked like it was going to be outside to start with.
Right.
And it was off the plate, and he swung at it. If it's not Ohtani, if it's just some random Japanese roster player that is not essentially his teammate and best friend, does he swing at that? I don't think so. I think this was Shohei getting that strikeout because of who he is, not necessarily his stuff.
I think probably that was, in that moment, that's probably the case.
And he threw four pitches at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, they were like 101 last night. It was anyway, but Mike Trout on striking out against his teammate as the United States loses the World Baseball Classic.
You know, everybody wanted to see it. You know, he won round one. no, it's you can't take anything away from it. Just to be able to come out of the bullpen, you know, as a starter and, you know, it's showtime. So it's, you know, hats off to them guys over there. It was a tough night for us, but we'll be back.
All right, so here are the pitchers that didn't pitch for the U.S. Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Gerrit Cole, Jacob deGrom, Aaron Nola. They all sat it out. Clayton Kershaw wanted to pitch, but he didn't was not allowed to pitch after there was an issue related to his insurance. And so that's where we got to see Kyle Freeland and Merrill Kelly and the guys that pitched for Team USA last night and throughout the course of this World Baseball Classic. And even with that very average group of pitchers, they still got to the championship
thing
because they had a really good offensive ball club with the exception of last night.
Yeah, and it's not quite like the Dream Team losing to, like, what, Argentina or Slovakia?
Yeah, they kind of threw the Dream Team thing around a little bit last night. I'm like, not with this pitching staff, it's not.
But that's the thing is, it should be.
It should be.
Team America, should always dominate this sport and basketball. The other sports, whatever, because a lot of other countries play those. And maybe not dominate Team Japan or like Cuba or whatever, but every year the United States is not within striking distance at the end of the championship game should be a failure, essentially, with baseball is this country's sport. Historically, football is now, obviously, but we should dominate at football if they ever do a World Football Classic.
Well, of course. Because
the rest of the football playing world doesn't wear pads and doesn't use their hands.
I mean, there's some European tackle football leagues and things like that. Yeah, you're right. We should totally dominate.
But that pitching staff that didn't pitch, the watching staff, was much better than the actual pitching staff.
And you have to wonder, what if?
Yeah.
What if those guys are out there, part of that rotation for Mark DeRosa to pitch in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
The outcome could have been different last night. I don't know. But anyway, congratulations to the Japanese.
Yes.
To Samurai Japan for their win last night. We don't want to be angry, bitter Americans. But if we would have had our best arms out there, could have been a different story. All right, 7:47. And it's time for sound check this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, last night saw the NIT continue on, and Wisconsin went to Eugene and beat Oregon by 3 at the Ducks' home gym there. It's not an arena. It's not a coliseum. It's a gym because only 3,300 people showed up. And Oregon head coach Dana Altman has some thoughts on why not, and maybe how to fix it.
I'm not a guy who says, oh, well, just more is automatically better. But it has stood out at times in non-conference play where there have been, but it's Houston, Baylor, who come in here, and they have 20 guys in suits on the bench. And I'm not saying that's the answer, but philosophically, do you look at things like that when you talk about coaching and other things? Of, do you think you need more people?
James, that goes in the evaluation. What are we not giving our players? You know, what are we not doing as a staff? You know, you see the commitment of Wisconsin makes. You know, they get their cheerleaders, their band, you know. And we make a commitment, don't get me wrong here. But, I mean, you can just see, you know, how important it is. And it was important to them. It was important to me. We should have more people here. These guys have played hard. 3,300 people, it's not good enough. You know, and if it's me, get rid of me. If you need somebody else to be a promoter. But 3,300 people is embarrassing. I'm not in a very good mood, you can tell that.
Because this was the lowest attendance you guys have had.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, James. If it's me, then make the change. Somebody will hire me somewhere. I'll go coach junior college ball again. But 3,300 people for Wisconsin, I was disappointed. And I appreciate the people who came. The 3,300 people who did come, great. I sure appreciate it.
I'm never one to really go after fans that do or don't show up, but he's kind of got a little bit of a point. Oregon won 20 games this year. I mean, they've been historically, recently good.
They had 3,964 for the Buffs, Utah Valley State, which, okay, it's Utah Valley State, it's NIT, mm-hmm. but I mean, they still had close to 4,000 people there. For a game on Sunday where it's not Wisconsin.
Right.
It's not a Power 5 conference program. It's got some history and some tradition. Yeah, Oregon had a, even though they're playing the NIT, had a really good season. Yeah, I think he makes a little bit of a point there.
Yeah, and hey, if you think it's my fault, get rid of me.
Exactly. I'll go coach junior college basketball. I've done that before. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Something that's on your chest. Well, let us know today. Dexter Collis, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back in. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. Text from Jim. Flipper caught with his blowhole, almost choked in my breakfast burrito. Don't do that, Jim. Don't choke.
Yeah, if you're going to choke on it, at least bring it here first.
No kidding.
Just saying. I mean.
And I'd hope that Flipper wouldn't have a similar, you know, outcome catching the ball with his blowhole. That would.
Yeah, that's a breathing issue as well.
Exactly. Good morning, Jim. Good to hear from you. All right, Rockies got smacked around by the Padres last night. Spring training, 14-2. They lose last night. Rockies give up 6 runs in the 8th inning, and
no Soto, no Nola,
yeah,
no matter.
Chris Bryant went 1-for-3 last night. Ryan McMahon went 0-for-3. Brenton Doyle went 2-for-4 last night.
I have no idea who that is.
And Grant Levine with a couple of walks last night for Colorado. So those are your highlights for the Rockies last night.
Woof. A couple of walks.
Couple of walks.
Yeah, buddy.
There we go.
We'll get him next time.
Rockies also announced they reassigned catcher Drew Romo and outfielder Zach Veen to their minor league camp. So they got 44 players remaining at spring training. They also made it official, the signing of former San Diego Padre outfielder Jurickson Profar, 1-year deal worth $7.75 million. Hit 15 bombs last year for the Padres. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back around the NFL next hour.